From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Police in Norway are questioning a 32-year-old Norwegian man in connection with yesterday's attacks. Police say at least 84 people are now known to have died at a youth summer camp, and at least 7 others were killed in the earlier bomb blast. That explosion ripped through government buildings in downtown Oslo. Then 2 hours later, and just more than 40 miles away, that shooting broke out at the camp run by the governing Labour Party. The BBC spoke with Swedish politician Ali Esbati, who was at the camp during the shooting.
When we heard that the police already had arrived in the island, we thought, at least I thought, that now things could be over. But just a few minutes after that, he showed up, and I saw him like 10 or 20 meters away, and he was dressed in what I, at that point, I thought maybe it was a security guard uniform, but it was a police uniform. And he had a big rifle of some kind, and he started shooting.
Police say the suspect may have had 30 minutes on the island before a SWAT team got there. Norwegian Prime Minister Jens Stoltenberg says yesterday was the deadliest in peacetime in Norway's history. He's arrived by helicopter at the island where the summer camp is held. President Obama has called top lawmakers to the White House today for a Where Do We Go From Here meeting on raising the nation's debt ceiling. NPR Scott Horsley reports the call came after a private talks between the president and the Republican House Speaker broke down.
House Speaker John Boehner told the president late Friday he was walking away from negotiations. Boehner complained the White House had raised its demand for more tax revenue at the last minute. Mr. Obama says his proposal to reduce the deficit is, in his words, only fair.
If you don't have revenues, the entire thing ends up being tilted on the backs of the poor and middle-class families. And the majority of Americans don't agree on that approach.
Mr. Obama says he wants lawmakers to offer ideas on how to raise the debt ceiling and avoid a government default that looms just a week and a half away. Scott Horsley, NPR News, the White House.
The heat wave that's moved into the Northeast and elsewhere is not ready to let go just yet. National Weather Service forecaster Michael Eckert says some areas may soon get some relief, but others are in it for the long haul.
There will be a break in the heat over the eastern U.S. that begins on Sunday into Monday, but the heat over the central U.S. will actually remain in place into next week, and it doesn't look like it's going to really move that much.
Diane O'Farrell is from Chicago, but she's touring Washington, D.C. right now. She's beating the heat with plenty of liquids.
Definitely keep that hydration more than just water. You got to get your Gatorades on. You got to get some of those electrolytes back in you when you're sweating so much.
The National Weather Service warns of oppressive heat in parts of Oklahoma, Indiana, New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut today. This is NPR News. The original suspect has been exonerated, but 2 new ones have been arrested in the beating of a San Francisco Giants fan at Dodger Stadium. The beating happened back on opening day in March, and the victim, Brian Stowe, is still hospitalized. The charges filed yesterday against Luis Sanchez and Marvin Norwood were announced by Police Chief Charlie Beck. L.A. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa says the police department has his full support.
I have every confidence in them and in this department that justice will prevail, and that the individuals responsible for this senseless act of violence against an innocent man will be brought to justice.
Villaraigosa on concern about the department's credibility in this case. This year's Tour de France has seen a week of blizzards, downpours, dangerous accidents, and now on the final day of cycling competition, Frank Browning reports that the contest comes down to a 25-mile ride through the lower mountains around Grenoble.
Two brothers of Luxembourg, Andy Schleck and his brother Frank, are respectively first and second. But not far behind comes Australian Cadel Evans. Today's individual time trial starts and ends in Grenoble and tracks a great circle of mild ups and downs. Evans, the 2009 Tour winner, is the favorite on the time trial because he knows the route better than either of the Schleck brothers, who Friday collaborated to push aside Thomas Vecler, the first Frenchman to be a real contender since 1985. Though tomorrow's ride from the Paris suburbs to the Arc de Triomphe and down the Champs-Élysées could technically offer another challenge, the final day's ride is by tradition a calm showcase for the public. For NPR News, I'm Frank Browning.
And I'm Giles Snyder in Washington.